B-Pod Studios.
The Felger and Mass podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated,
archaic,
and weird.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
It's Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Payoff pitch, and that swerved in. So Senzel will take the walk, and that'll put him on at first and second for Jose Barrero. And the manager up there in the top step.
Something's not right.
He's coming out again with the trainer, so another medical visit.
They see something mechanically off. You don't want to hurt him for the remainder of the season here.
I don't think I've ever seen this, too. Two medical visits on the mound.
Oh, he's coming out. Chris Sale is leaving the game at 59 pitches.
The first thing I thought was, I don't think you can come out a second time like that.
It's a medical visit.
Yeah.
Is there two medical visits?
You can. You're allowed to do that.
Back to back. I mean, it just seems like it's back to back.
Really fast, and out he comes.
That's not good news.
It is not.
Well, that didn't take long, as the saying goes. That was Chris Sale last night coming out of the ball game. That'll be one of the topics here on an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are brought to you by Ketch's Law, New England's injury attorneys since 1986 with over $1 billion and 50 attorneys that live in the same communities as you do. Schedule a free consultation at ketcheslaw.com today. Agenda-free Fridays are simple. You set the tone with your calls. We take your calls and you set it. So that's it. The hounds have been released at 617-779-0985. Load them up. We'll go to you in the first segment if you're ready. In the meantime, we'll give you opening takes. And Maz and Murray, hi, guys.
Hi. Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Maz's opening take relates to what happened last night and Chris Sale. Anthony.
So a lot of people have been pumping up the return of Chris Sale of late. He's been pitching pretty well over his last, I don't know, four or five outings. Before he went on the mound against Cincinnati last night. And then, lo and behold, something flares up. Turns out to be his shoulder. We don't have all the information yet. I presume we're going to get some this afternoon when Alex Cora speaks over at Fenway Park. But the bottom line to me, the story is this. Murray, do you remember at the beginning of the season I said to you the over-under on Chris Sale for wins?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you remember what it was. It was either 6.5 or 7.5.
So
let's call it 7. Okay, let's just split the difference and call it 7. The over-under was 7 for Chris Sale. Last night would have been his 6th win. Okay, I don't know if he's coming back and pitching or not, but the bottom line is this. Vegas set the over-under number on Chris Sale at 7. 7. I looked at that and I said, if he's healthy, that's over. He'll get over 7. But the issue, of course, is the health, which we all knew. We all knew. So you tell me, because I had a number of people come up to me today and say, give Sale hell on the air today. Is it Sale we should be giving hell to, or should we be giving hell to the Red Sox?
The team.
The team.
Because when you look at this story, is it really a surprise that Chris Sale is hurt again?
No, it was all a matter of time.
And if you built your team to rely on Chris Sale, and you were mediocre with Chris Sale, what are you going to be now without him, and who takes the blame for that?
Super suck and the team.
Exactly.
Mediocre-er. And John Henry.
Yes, so the sin here is not that Chris Sale is hurt again. The sin is that the Red Sox foolishly put stock in Chris Sale for this season. The story is the Red Sox. It's not Chris Sale. It's further evidence of their unwillingness to extend and go out again a front-end starter. We all knew that they needed a front-end starter. They said, well, we're going to get Sale back. Bloom said something to that effect at the end of last season. We'll have Sale back. We think he's going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Nice move. Another nice move. Good job.
Murray, your thought.
Game one, Denver, Miami, NBA Finals last night. I'm sort of into it. I mean, it's something to watch. There's not much at this point. And so when I watch events like this that I'm like half-heartedly into, I'll take to Twitter, see what the people think of it. And wow, what a mistake that was. I mean, it's a sewer as it is, but it was just nonstop whining and bitching from Celtics fans last night. Watching the Heat in the finals instead of the Celtics, this is gross. A blown opportunity. And it wasn't just stuff like that. It was just everything about the poor shooting from Miami. Martin and Strus combined 0 for 8. Celtics sitting at home saying, oh, really? Just, it was, Mike, it was a tidal wave.
But what's wrong with that? Like, they're
I'll tell you what's wrong with it.
Because, aren't they admitting they lost to an inferior team?
Well, no, because what it was a tidal wave of, it should have been us.
It should have been.
No, you got what you deserved. And that's my opening take. The results of that Eastern Conference final is what they deserved for how that team carried themselves from the All-Star break, front-running frauds, unserious people, and as unlikable team I have watched in this city in like the last 20 years. The results of the Eastern Conference final weren't a fluke. It wasn't Struess, Martin, Vincent getting hot at the right time. No, it was them tripping all over themselves and taking Game 7 as unserious as they possibly could because they thought that they stole it in Game 6. The results were just. The results are what they should have been. The Celtics did not deserve to go to the final, and had they still would have gotten Hillbilly White by Jokic and the Nuggets anyway.
My opening take is related to the Celtics and Jaylen Brown and the max contract conversation, which is a big one, which is a big important one, and it's coming down the pike here for the Celtics in short order. And I've said this week that I don't think he's going to get it. I don't think he should get it. And my path there was, well, you can still pay him more than anybody else, just not fully max him out. And that's the idea with Jaylen Brown, that you need to do that with Jaylen Brown, partly because he's not worth it, and also sort of set the roles on the team. Tatum's the one. You're a two. You're not a 1A. And your contract's going to reflect it. And the new CBA makes it hard to have two of these guys. And so you're not going to get 290. You're going to get 240 or, you know, something like that. That was my idea. Now, I've listened to a lot of NBA guys this week sort of shoot that down. I mean, not specifically me, but the idea of meeting somewhere in between. In between 215 or 200 and 290, whatever those numbers are, that is not feasible and not really on the table. And a bunch of guys have said it. The most latest was this morning. John Corrales was on TNR. Good to hear Freddie Toucher back on the air. He was on with Fred. And again, he's not the only one saying this. It's just what I heard this morning. So I think it represents pretty much what I'm hearing from a lot of local guys on the Jaylen, and not just local, I'll say. A lot of basketball guys on the Jaylen Brown contract situation. So here's John Corrales and the idea of taking less than the full 290 Supermax.
I think you pay him. And you try to figure it out from there. He is a second team All-NBA guy with, you know, just heading into his prime and certainly has flaws. And everybody has that 8 turnover game fresh in their minds. So everybody is losing their minds about paying him 35% of the cap. But this is the system. And they could go to him and say, hey, we thought we were going to offer you the 35%. And this new collective bargaining agreement really came out of nowhere and screwed us. So we want to do 32%, which is more than the 30% any other team could offer. And we could do 5 years, which is one more year than any team can offer. So what do you think? And look, Jaylen all year long had said, you know, he wants to be with the team that values him, or however he put it earlier this season. And I think this is part of it. I think giving him the full max is part of it. And if he doesn't work out, if he just never gets any better, then you trade him 2 years from now.
Okay, so that's what I'm hearing. And it makes perfect sense in that, well, okay, so if you pay him $250 over the five versus $300 over the five, it's a difference of $5 million a year. And what are you really going to get with $5 million a year anyway? It's not really saving you against the tax. It's not saving you really against the cap. And all you're doing is sort of giving him the impression that you're nickel and diming him, that you need to take a haircut, and he's not going to like that. And the player you would get for the difference isn't worth doing that with him. And I get it. Okay, fine. And if my path is not feasible, well, then it's not feasible. I'm just telling you, I think you're asking for, I think as much as anything, never mind the financial ramifications or him not being worth it, I think giving him that contract would represent the organization starting to twist the screws just a little bit on those players, that what just happened is not okay. And we're going to start applying just a little bit of pressure, just a little bit of pressure on these guys. Starting with the money isn't a horrible idea. And if Jalen Brown walks, and again, so if Jalen Brown walks over the difference between 290 and 250, then let him trade him and get something else. So I just think they're sort of asking for, they're asking for trouble by maxing him out and maxing Tatum out. And if you want to max one of them out because they're worth it, that's one thing. Jalen Brown isn't worth it. And I think the message it sends to the team is also not so great. But I have more thoughts on that coming up. Do you have anything, Maz, before
no,
I go
no,
to the
no.
phones?
No, go to the phones.
Right to the phones here, as promised. Jesse and Groton on Chris Sale. What do you got, Jesse?
Hey, guys. So, first off, shame on the Sox for refusing to go to college. And Evaldi. Now look what they're doing this year. Now the rotation is looking pretty pretty bleak moving forward. Now, Maz, my question is, do you think the Red Sox plugged that hole? I would expect Sale goes to the IL.
Let me stop you. Did they plug the hole?
Yeah, but how? I mean, when I say how, I mean that I'll give him this. He was pitching at a reasonably high level, you know, the last month, let's call it. So do they have a guy that can give him that for a month? Maybe. I mean, maybe Whitlock gets hot. Maybe Bayo gets hot. Fine, whatever. But you think it's going to get solved by pulling Pivetta or Kluber out of the bullpen again?
Yeah.
The mistake, first of all, the mistake was made over the winter. Okay, so you can't fix that now. You're porked.
Yeah, micro, you can't fix it. They're trash. Macro, looking bigger picture, offseason. Be in on Ohtani. You have to be in on Ohtani. Do you
right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, right, Murray, you're right. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say the problem is that are they going to make the same mistake again? Are they going to go into it and say, well, actually, this is just a three-month injury. He's going to be okay. We're going to bring him back for next year. You going to do the same thing?
I can't believe Chris Sale was a part of anyone's calculus.
Bingo.
I never thought he was going to be on the team. Honestly, I never thought. My over-under would have been one win. I didn't even think about him. So, like, I just, whatever this was gravy. Jonathan and Randolph on the Patriots on Agenda Free Friday. Go, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. I'm coming off the conversation yesterday about how Bill Belichick is still holding that grudge against Mac, and it's just trying to get in the mind of Bill Belichick. So it's totally okay and honorable and not a, you know, stain on his character to take generous interpretations of league memos of where you can film other team sidelines. But a player asking a friend of Bill so that keeps it in the family so it can, you know, be in the circle of trust, it might not get out. Is sacrilegious, staying on Bill's honor, and unforgivable. That's the mind of Bill Belichick.
I'm with you, Jonathan. I don't mind Bill getting pissed off at it. As we've discussed, it's a low blow. It's a blow to the ego to have Mac Jones calling down to Alabama. So Bill wants to get pissed about that. Like, I get it. How long do we, you know, how long
yeah,
do
that's
we hold
fair.
It? Right? How long do we hold it against him? How long do we let that get in the way of a good relationship and a functional relationship with a player you really need? How long? You know, what's, and with Bill, the answer is forever. He'll let that sit there forever.
Absolutely.
Because that's just how he operates. Let's grab Tommy and Lynn. Tommy, what do you got to say today?
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say today. Tomorrow night, got game one of the Stanley Cup. And Formo, Coach Bruce Cassidy and his Vegas Knights take on the team that beat you. And if they win the Stanley Cup, the Vegas Knights, oh, boy. Oh, boy, because I'll be talking about that on my podcast, and I know you guys will be talking about that, too. The old coach and all the young players thought he was tough. No, the young players didn't.
Soft. Sally's. Tommy, I'll just say it for you. I'll finish the thought for you. Soft. More worried about being supported and being treated well and all this. And, boy, you get the guy fired, and he right here playing for the Stanley Cup. I've said it for a month now. Horrible, horrible look for these Bruins players. Horrible.
Trying to pull up the odds. I wanted to know who was favored in this series. So it's the Golden Knights actually are a slight favorite in the series, or at least for game one.
But you know what? Both teams sort of prove points that I want to prove to you.
Yeah, right.
One is this Bruins roster is soft, and the players have too much control. And if they can't hack a mean coach, how are they going to hack winning a Stanley Cup? And I think we're seeing they just can't hack it. And they need to make DNA changes every bit as much as the Celtics. That's one point.
Those might be coming, by the way.
Do you have something, Stu?
Yeah, maybe we'll tease it for later in the hour.
Oh, Stu's got something.
Oh,
okay. And the other one is Matthew Tkachuk. It's like that's on the Florida side. They made a DNA altering move. They had a great team. They had a President's Trophy winning team. They had a high scoring team. They took their highest scoring player, one of their best offensive players, and flipped him for someone tougher. Who was just, you know, elite too, but tougher. And paid them. And look at where they are. Both teams can prove a point. which is all we're really looking to do.
Can't lose.
Even though this is an agenda-free Friday. Yeah. You continue with
a full agenda, agenda-free Friday.
With your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up? Every day they work their hardest to give you the best show they can.
I think that's rare.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jimmy Butler, first half. Give me your impressions of what he's been able to do. He's got 11.
I thought he was good, but I got to say something, man. Why are you dumbass selfish plates making my head hurt? Ernie, let me tell you something.
Glad I asked you about Jimmy Butler.
I know, but I can't let it go, man.
I know.
You got, if you just come to the game and say, we're just going to jack up threes, and if we win, we're going to win. If we miss them, we're going to lose. They're 4-for-21. They probably, I forget what they were last game.
7-for-35.
It's so bad to watch them play. There's no ball movement. There's no body movement. And it's just frustrating to watch the team with this much talent just play stupid.
It's obviously Barkley halftime game 7. I just play that because I still think the dumbass Celtics are the lead story in Boston right now. People aren't over it. It was that bad of a loss. It was that bad of an underachievement. And it was made worse yesterday because I don't feel Brad Stevens or the organization feels the same way. I feel Brad Stevens and the organization feels that it's a little more okay than the rest of us do.
Yeah, just another building block of a season. Yeah, we took some lumps and it sucks we didn't go to accomplish our true goal, but that's okay. We're still building. No, you're there. You should have taken the step forward after last year. You made the finals. Everyone, including yourselves, it's like they moved the goalpost. You retooled, you added some shooting, someone like Malcolm Brogdon, to go and actually finish the job this year. And now they're going to sit there and talk like we're still good with the path. No.
It's getting to the point we got to take a hard look at the team. That doesn't mean blow it up. It just means take a critical look at it.
Yeah, no, I think the overall assessment is right, that they just look at it as another blip on the timeline. And I don't think it is. I think we're beyond that.
Good for Gary Washburn again. I think Washburn is as close to telling it like it is, and the real, critical, which doesn't mean negative, but just a critical look at things at the team. He does the best job. He wrote the headline in the Globe. Brad Stevens doesn't seem concerned about the state of the Celtics. Maybe he should be. Opening line. The tone of Brad Stevens was similar to the Celtics' attitude towards some of their critical playoff games. A casualness, a nonchalance, a disturbing coolness. 100%. Brad Stevens' tone mirrored that of his team in too many games that were important. And the whole operation, to me, lacks championship urgency. And so that's where we are.
Just quickly, Mike, remember after game 3, Washburn said real problems in that locker room with Jaylen Brown. That's right. Right? Remember?
Yeah.
So now that was wrong?
You're making it up.
Or did they just win 3 games and nearly pull it off and everybody forgot about it?
Continue with your thoughts. Here's Griffin in Boston on that. Go, Griff.
Hey, guys. Huge fan of the show. Thanks for letting me talk. I have a few things to say here about the Celtics. I'll be quick. So two things to say. First, the way the Celtics lost in game 7 couldn't have been a more nightmarish scenario. As a fan, would much rather just lose game 4. And I say that for 2 reasons. One, if they just lose game 4, us as fan base, we were already dead after 3-0. We got resuscitated, had this whole Red Sox 0-4.
Griff, I'm going to stop you. Thank you for the call, because it's an interesting point. Would it have been better off for them just to get swept?
Yeah,
probably.
Yep. Why?
Well, I think it would have been a more decisive, I think the 3-game win, the 3 wins.
It's more drastic.
And it leads to Stevens to say,
correct,
we were just 48 minutes away.
Correct. Like you say, then he says, with the exception of game 7.
With the exception of the 4th quarter.
Right.
Right,
because it's a rout. Then it's indisputably a rout. And now where are you going to hide now? You can't stick your head in the sand at 4-0. Absolutely, he would have been better.
It's an interesting thought. Alan in Florida on the Red Sox. Hi, Alan.
I you know what? I have to switch because you just mentioned Brad Stevens. And, you know, Dean Duquette once made a statement. Well, Brad Stevens is the most ridiculous statement I've heard since Dean Duquette's. We did all right until the seventh game. I mean, you guys aren't playing that up enough. That's the most moronic thing I have ever heard.
We ripped him all day yesterday for it, Alan. Absolutely. For the very play, the cut off the very first segment of the very first hour, and immediately Maz pointed it out. It's like outside of that 48 minutes, when those 48 minutes are the only 48 minutes that matter.
Right, your season was on the line.
There aren't seven-game series in the NBA? You freaking nuts. Like, that was it. That's all that matters.
I know, and again, they keep taking the big sample. And the big sample doesn't matter in the NBA. It's all about those money games. All about the money ball and the three-point contest. Like, it's the money game.
Dan in Wakefield on the Red Sox and Chris Sale. Go, Dan.
Hey, guys. Just on the Sale thing, the black man is what I call it now because he can't make it through an entire season anymore. He kind of hit his crescendo in 2018 in that ninth inning of the World Series. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, and he was cash then. Your phone's mediocre. And that was an overrated appearance to begin with. He was done then.
Correct.
He just mopped up a, what was it, game six, and they were up how much?
5-1, maybe?
I mean, it's like
something like that.
The layup. So I don't even think that was his crescendo. It might have been even the season before. I can't now remember when they signed him. But either way, you go back and you, don't you blame John Henry? Do you even blame Dombrowski? I know Henry threw Dombrowski under the bus for that contract, but I always viewed it as Henry chasing his tail for not signing Sale. And so they overextended on Sale. I'm sorry, what did I just say?
Lester,
for not signing Lester. And he overcompensated on Sale, and that's why you're stuck with this guy.
Yeah, look, again, Dombrowski went to him and said, can we sign him? Henry said yes. So absolutely put ownership on the list. 100%.
I always thought it started with ownership.
Yes. Well, I say put him on the list. It does start with, on those deals, it does start with ownership. You know, I also think that Dombrowski has a habit of just throwing money at every problem. That's not always the answer.
It's true.
But fair, totally fair on Henry. And beyond that, like, this is not a Chris Sale story. The colleges did it again. It's an ownership and management story. That's what it is. And if you want to take management out of it, fine. It's an ownership story. If the Red Sox are going to do it this way, if this is what they're going to be, just we're going to keep sending a guy out there because we signed him to a long-term deal. We made a stupid decision, and we're going to try to milk everything we can out of the deal. Sell.
The team. Sell. Sell the team.
Yes, sell the team. If you're not in it to win, what's the point? The whole point is to win championships.
It's a business venture.
That's the whole point. So if you want to get into a business venture, buy something else.
We've got Jack in Worcester with a Celtics thought. Yes, Jack.
Hey, guys. So that Wick story the other day, that was awesome. I was so psyched to hear that. That's how the fan base feels. We're sick of this soft team playing with no balls for the last 5 years, underachieving. And then sure enough, Stevens comes out a couple days later just saying, everything's okay, everything's happy, we're having a good time here. No, Wick, if you're listening, for the love of God, clean house. Stevens got to go. Bring in Bob Myers. Let him pick a coach. Trade JB, reshape this roster. We had plenty of ammo to build around Tatum. Bob Myers knows how to build a real team with chemistry.
Okay, Bob Myers, president in Golden State, stepped down. Maz,
I'm in.
You are?
Yeah, I'm in. Absolutely, 100%. I'm in.
Yeah, why not take it one step further? Hire him and then wait out for Steve Kerr. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
Or if not Steve Kerr, find the next Steve Kerr. Like, whatever. You know, preferably someone with experience. Don't get me wrong. I don't want another 34-year-old. But if you're asking me, if Bob Myers were interested in the job, would I hire him? In a second.
Bring in the Bob Myers, Steve Kerr thing.
Yeah, I'd do it in a second.
Sounds like you could be sold.
I mean, I would even consider, and I'm not telling you that this would work, but if you were to tell me they're going to bring Myers in and bump Stevens back down, fine. I'm good with that. I think the players will be pissed and it won't work. So you're going to have to find a different part for Stevens. But I would rather have Bob Myers as the architect of the Celtics than Brad Stevens, yes.
More on the Supermax for Jaylen Brown coming up after Big Jim Murray gets you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz continues on the Sports Hub.
If you pay Brown and Tatum, that's your pay. Like, they've got to get you there now. And the supporting cast that you have now, you're not going to be able to afford. So if you believe that these guys can elevate themselves and they can make other guys better as opposed to getting better guys to make them better, then I say go ahead, pay them. That's where you place your bet. I'm not convinced in the same way that when we looked at Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, like we were like two great individual talents. But can that combination win you a championship? Or is there always a little bit of friction there because of just the dynamics of how they play? That's what I see in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So if you're happy, just like you're always going to the playoffs, which a lot of teams would take what Boston Celtics have had. If you're happy with that, then load up on them and you know that you're guaranteed to be good. This is one of my issues with Jason and Jaylen. Like, who's the driving force there? Are they making each other better? I know they like each other. I know they work out with each other. I know they're both hard workers. But is there somebody who's saying, hey, you're not good enough right now? You're not playing well enough right now. Do they have the ability to say that to each other and demand more? And I just haven't seen that.
So that's Rick Bucher, FS1, explaining the other side of the coin of that. New CBA, if you sign these two guys to Supermax, that's, you can't have the team you have now. Forget about a guy like Derek White or Malcolm Brogdon, certainly both of them. So you got to make a choice. That those two can almost singularly, or let's just say with less of a supporting cast than they have now, elevate you to a championship. That's the bet you're making. Bucher isn't so sure. He sees some OKC stuff in this team. Do you have a thought, Maz, before I continue?
I mean, I feel similarly. I'm not totally 100% convinced. I don't know that you could be, unless you had Michael Jordan. I mean, and even then, I think people wondered. So you're not going to get 100%. I still think it's the preferred route. Because I think if you trade Brown, getting equal value back is hard. Now, if you tell me you can get Damian Lillard, I think I'd do that. I think I'd go that route. But I don't know if they can do that.
Okay, Stu, do you have something?
Yeah, what I was going to say is if you extend Jaylen Brown and you try it out for the 2 years, when you get past that 2 year window, you could trade him then and get a higher salary player back. Or split him into role players. There's the difference if you look at the James Harden deal from when he was traded from the Rockets. It was a bunch of supporting cast players. This past year, Kevin Durant, with 4 years left, you got Mikal Bridges and some good players in the exchange of the Suns and the Nets.
Yeah, so what you're saying, it's not locked in. They give him the extension now. They have to keep him for a year, so that's a two-year window. That's when Tatum Supermax would kick in. So you've got a little bit of wriggle room here. And I get it. And it feels like that's, you know, sort of where they're headed. But that still doesn't mean, I don't know. I think it perpetuates what is really what I mean. Sort of the problem down here. Mm-hmm. They're just all a little too self-satisfied. And I don't know, maybe Brown will be better once he gets the money, you know, cause I feel like this was a contract, you know, drive for him. I mean, look at his numbers after he was named all NBA. He was named all NBA in the middle of the playoffs. Everything fell off the table and he injured his hand with that, watering incident in his garden.
The vase.
But yeah. Before everything.
Yeah.
So, like, no, he got the all NBA, he qualified for Supermax, and then his play fell off. So I don't know. Maybe once he gets the bag and it's all settled, he can now turn fully to winning and become more of, you know, singularly focused on that. Because I don't think he has been. I get it. But then there's just another thing. It's like, okay. We're going forward with these guys, and they're being fully rewarded. You'll be one of the few teams in the league with two Supermax guys, and you've made one final. And I just think that sort of perpetuates it a little bit. I think it's important for Jaylen Brown to understand he's going to be a two. I think the contract should reflect that a little bit. And then there's a question about, does he even want to be here? Corrales, again, I'm with TNR this morning, addressed that. And it you know, he said something that the tone of it sort of bothered me. And it sort of bothers me about the local coverage here is that it's, I think Corrales is missing something that's pretty obvious. But anyway, I think Wallach asked him, is there any chance that Jaylen Brown would just turn it down because he doesn't want to be here, Jimmy?
I mean, it's possible, but I don't think so. Anything can happen between now and the time something is offered. So I think as of right now, I think he would take it. I think he has, not to, you know, lean on the phrase that they used as their marketing thing, the unfinished business, but I think that's what he has with this team. And I don't think he wants to leave Boston on those terms.
Just stop right there. Stop right there. This is how fans look at it, John. Do you think these players, do you think Jaylen Brown, who wears the Atlanta Braves hat to the podium every time, is sitting here saying, I got to win one for Boston?
Yeah, man. Right.
No. No, what are you, on crack? No.
But that's what I think. That's how fans look at it.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, a lot of guys that cover the team look at it that way. Do you think Jaylen Brown goes to say, I got unfinished business here in Boston. I got to win one for this city. Come on. It's not how he thinks. It's not how hardly any of these guys think.
I interpreted it a little differently than you did when he says, I don't think Jaylen Brown wants to leave Boston on those terms, meaning he's leaving Boston either way. He just, you know, like I look at it as he's leaving Boston. You know, he'd like to win one first.
But I don't think Jaylen Brown thinks he would be leaving on bad terms.
Yeah.
I think Jaylen Brown looks at it and says, yeah, we came up just short. I'm all NBA. I'm good. I don't think they don't look at it the way you do. Well, when are you going to get that through your heads? He doesn't think of that. He thinks, I'm all NBA. We knocked at the door, came a little bit short. Would have been nice to win. I'll get mine. And I'll go get mine. He didn't get you to lose a second of sleep.
No.
Over not winning one for Boston. Like, come on. Grow up a little bit. Continue with this cut. Please.
With this team, and I don't think he wants to leave Boston on those terms. I do think he likes it here, despite what some people might want to think.
Stop.
So I think,
okay,
yeah, because he's made it seem that way so much.
He likes it here, despite what you all are saying. Okay, I think that's just a ridiculous, biased fanboy comment.
I think he hates it here.
I have no idea, but the tea leaves are not great about how he feels about Boston. And so if I were, what I would say is we don't know exactly how he feels about this place. Maybe he feels better about it than he's conveyed, but we don't know. At best, I would say his feelings about this place are mixed. But no, he likes it here. He likes it better than some people think, than you all think. Based on what are we basing that on? Because his public comments, let me give you his public comments. When he's asked about being a black professional athlete in Boston by the New York Times, he says there's multiple experiences. As an athlete, as a basketball player, as a regular civilian, as someone who's trying to start a business, as someone who's trying to do things in the community, there's not a lot of room for people of color, black entrepreneurs, to come in and start a business in Boston is what he's talking about. I think that my experience here has been not as fluid as I thought it would be. What do you mean by that? He's asked. Even being an athlete, you would think that you'd get a certain amount of influence to be able to have experiences, to be able to have some things that doors open a little bit easier. But even with me being who I am, trying to start a business, trying to buy a house, trying to do certain things, you run into some adversity. He says, then he's asked black athletes while playing in Boston, have you experienced any of that? Other athletes have spoken out about the negative way that fans have treated black athletes in Boston. Have you experienced any of that? I have. But I pretty much block it all out. It's not the whole Celtics fan base, but it's a part of the fan base that exists within the Celtics nation that is problematic. If you have a bad game, they tie it to your personal character. I definitely think there's a group or an amount within the Celtics nation that is extremely toxic. So why don't we just, when they say when you're asked John Krause, I don't mean to dump on John Krause because I get this a lot. It's like, no, he likes it here, you know, despite what you think. Really? Because when he's talking to the New York Times, he's saying there's a faction of the fan base that's toxic here. And even being a star athlete, he's had trouble apparently starting businesses, buying houses, whatever he's referring to there. So why would you sit here and say he likes it here? How do you know? If anything, it's what you should be saying is what Maz said. I think he hates it here. The guy that wears the Atlanta Braves gear to the podium after every game. Like, come on. Keep it real. Like, that frustrates me when I hear that.
Well, it should frustrate you. And again, I'm just telling you, I think based on when you say, you know, the tea leaves are, well, that's what you're basing your opinion on. I don't mean you. I mean, that's what I'm basing my opinion on. I read the tea leaves just like you do. I look at it and say, this guy's not happy being here. It doesn't mean I should take back the hates it part. That's an overstatement. So I'll take that part back. But like,
he's got issues.
Yeah, but he doesn't love it. I can tell you that.
Listen,
he has doubts about playing here.
He doesn't want to leave because he has unfinished business and he likes it here. I mean, okay, if you got something on that, like, give me a little more detail. All he's put on the record is kind of the opposite. And it's also just kind of, it's not the way most professional athletes think. He doesn't go to sleep saying, I got to win one for Bobby. If I leave now, oh boy, I left Boston. You know, we were just short in Boston. I owe one to Boston. I unfinished business for Boston. It's not the way they think. He says, I'm all NBA. My pockets are straight. We came close. Would have been nice to win, but I'll get mine. And he didn't lose a second of sleep. When he wakes up, he puts on that Atlanta Braves gear. Not the Red Sox gear. Like, come on. And if you really want to dig into his record about what he said, it ain't so great. So let's just keep it real, shall we? So there's that diatribe, sorry. Long commercial-free segment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Exactly what was it you heard?
It's Belger and Mass. Oh. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let me explain something to you while I'm shaking my head.
Okay.
I come on this network and I love working with you and the rest of our colleagues, and I give my unbiased opinion, and I come on here and speak the truth. And you know, certain Celtic fans had the audacity to try to revoke my Celtic card because I've been coming on here telling them how sloppy the Celtics play on both ends of the floor and how they lost their identity. Now, to answer your question, it's time to break Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum up. Jaylen Brown was horrible tonight. 8 turnovers, 8 for 23 from the field. Jason Tatum hurt. This is the time that he's supposed to step up. And I just don't know if you're the front office of the Celtics, how much longer you're going to be patient with this duo. And it's going to be guys out there that are going to be somewhat on the market, like a Trae Young and a Damian Lillard. And I think the front office, Brad Stevens and Whit Grospec, is going to have to take a hard look at whether or not they want to bring Jaylen Brown back and pair him up with Jason Tatum, which I think they should. And I think they should go out there and try to get a Damian Lillard. And if they fall short of getting him, then go get a Trae Young. But I think it's time to end this relationship right now.
So that's Perk, obviously. It's after the game on Monday. Some people in the Celtics world want to excommunicate him for it.
Oh, so you know about this. This is my other thorn in my side with Celtics fans right now.
Well, I just know because Perk said that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Another, like, you know, well, the million reasons be happy or not on Twitter and social media. They, like, hate this guy now.
Like, get out of the city. Don't talk about the team. You used to be one of them. How dare you?
He's the best.
Because he tells it like it is, you babies.
It's the absolute best. And I don't know if splitting them up is the right thing. I'm just telling you, it's worth considering. It's a close call. And
how dare you?
Oh, my God. So good for Perk. But let me just make this clear on Jaylen Brown. If they offer him the 290, he's going to take it. But why is he going to take it? Because it's good business. It's a business decision. It's not because of it's not the unfinished business you're talking about, because he has to win one in Boston because he doesn't want to leave on these terms. That's silly. He'll do it because it's a smart business decision for his career and his bottom line, and he should sign it. Everyone who's been offered it has signed it. He'll sign. But it's not for the reasons you want to apply to that, I don't know, make you feel better as a fan. I mean, and if he's just signing for the money, that's okay. It's a business. And it's smart business for him to sign it. We'll get Gasper's thoughts on this coming up. Also, Jimmy Stewart's got some Bruins juice. He's got some Bruins stuff for you, which we're going to do at 4 o'clock, okay? Because I want to give it the proper time.
There's some good stuff in there.
So there's some stuff in there. He's got some juice.
Don't worry, I'm not going to give it away, but he's got some good stuff in there.
Okay. So there it is. We'll do that at 4 o'clock. A couple quick calls here before we get to Gasper. Here's Luke in Vermont. Hi, Luke.
Matt, remember the stuff everybody was saying about LeBron when he was at the end of his time in Cleveland, and then especially after year one in Miami, how he was a loser, he didn't know how to win, and a lot of it was true. It was right. Just like a lot of the stuff we're saying about Tatum and Brown right now. It's accurate. But if you walked away from LeBron after year 7 or 8, he went on to have one of the best careers in the history of basketball. And I'm not saying Tatum is LeBron, so don't take it that far. I think there's a good chance Tatum's a top 25 player all time and wins multiple championships. And he's got 7 or 8 years left. This was his second year as the leader of the team. It's almost like his early success hurts him in some way. We talk about it like, are you a loser when you lose the Super Bowl, or was that a successful season? And I just think it's taking it too far with Tatum to say that he's not built for it, he's not cut out for it, because he's 25 hasn't won one.
Yeah,
yet.
Just for the record, I say I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but that's not saying that he won't get there. I don't see it yet. Murray says he'll never get there.
Yeah. Because you know, when we have a show today and I need things to say, and I'm not going to ride the fence on it. If I have a gun to my head and you have to ask me, is Jason Tatum ever going to win a title? I will tell you no. I don't see it. Not after the failures time and again in the fourth quarter against the Heat and the losses in the Eastern Conference Finals and his overall performance in this postseason. And really even go back to last year in the finals too. His greatest game was here at home, Game 7, against a soft-ass, even softer than then, 76ers team. Other than that, ugh.
I mean, Luke's not wrong about LeBron. I mean, there are a lot of players in the league you can say that about. 6 or 7 years in, you look at them and say they can't win. They're not good enough, and they figure it out.
They called Jordan a hun. It took him until, what, his 7th year? But at least he did say, I'm not saying Tatum is LeBron, and certainly he is not Jordan. Look, it could happen, but to me, I don't think it's going to.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, but the other factor that he's not considering is that LeBron left. And what happens eventually is a player gets frustrated, just like Durant left. And a player gets frustrated and says, it's not going to happen here. I got to get out of here. I need a change of scenery. And you move. And that's a reality that the Celtics have to consider, too. Tatum might eventually get to the point, and I understand the Supermax thing, but he could get 2 years into the Supermax and say, I'm out of here.
What I am willing to say is that it's not going to happen with the current conditions. If they bring back Brown and bring back Smart and bring back everything as it is, bring back this coach and bring back that attitude of, well, we were just 48 minutes away, and give Brown the Supermax and get, you know, happy land. This continued, just everything is okay. Look on the positive. Bring everybody back. It was only Game 7. Otherwise, we were right there. If they bring it back with that attitude and that group, no. That'll tell you that's not happening. Something has to change for them to get over the hump. We've got Gasper standing by. We'll talk to him right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.